Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Wow, it is closing time. It seems that it shut her down. When it comes to the Toronto Raptors, we knew when the trades of OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, when they happened, we knew that, you know, this season was a bust. You had Dennis Schroeder, Thad Young, and you sit back and say, all right, what are we left with? Of course, Fred VanVleet and Nick Nurse were out the door during the offseason. In the summer. And I thought, I thought it would make sense to chat a little bit about kind of where this team is at. There's been some news, obviously. Scotty Barnes broke his finger, I think his middle finger on his right hand, if I'm not mistaken. Jakob Poeltl just had surgery. So, you know, that's important news to talk about. Bruce Brown has an injury. Actually, both Jakob Poeltl and Scotty Barnes had surgery on their fingers. I think different fingers for different reasons. Both obviously basketball related, but they will not be playing for the rest of the season, nor should they. I mean, we're not making the play-in. You know, I realize the Nets are only two games away, but they're in the 11th seed. The Hawks, who do not have Trae Young, are still four games up on the Raptors, so we made no headway. Didn't get closer to them over the last five, six games. The Chicago Bulls stuck in mediocrity. We've talked about them, 29-32, going nowhere, but they will make the play-in. Is it possible the Nets might make a run? Maybe. Maybe they catch the Hawks. I think they just beat the Hawks in the last week. But for the Toronto Raptors, this season is gone, and that's all right. You know, we kind of felt like it could go the way it has gone. Scotty Barnes' season was strong. I think the trades that they made are good for the future. We talked about that in the last episode. And certainly when Jakob Poeltl and Bruce Brown are also injured, and Yak and Scotty being shut down for the season, you've had all these changes. You know, I think that it's fair to say that these guys should stay at home or be in their civvies. They don't need to play another game this season. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the bright things, some of the bright spots, some of the highlights to this season. And I think getting a dynamic young guard in Emmanuel Quickley was a real highlight. I think bringing RJ Barrett to his hometown team, even though he's a Saga guy, Toronto is his team, only 20 kilometers away from where he grew up is the Scotiabank Arena. Same can be said for Kelly Olynyk, although Kelly moved when he was about 12, 13 years old to BC, where his dad got a coaching job at a university in British Columbia. And then, of course, he goes to middle school, high school, out in BC, goes to Gonzaga for his college career. You know, being a guy from Scarborough, Toronto is his home team. And so to have RJ Barrett, have Kelly Olynyk on this team, not just for this season, but for the next two seasons. RJ Barrett has two more years in his contract. Kelly Olynyk just signed an extension. So he will be here for the next 2 years. I think it makes sense. I don't know if I wanted to pay him $13 million a season, but when you consider the bigger picture of what you need on this team and what Kelly brings to the table, I think in this economic landscape of the NBA, I think, you know, $13 million a year for Kelly Olynyk is fine. But those are really good stories. Those players provide, continue something special for the Raptors. And that is to have Canadian basketball players who play for the national team be on the Raptors. It's good for the fan base. It's good for the players. I know that Chris Boucher's season has not gone great, but having him on this team for the last six seasons has been really wonderful. And he has become someone who is loved, cherished by the Raptors, as he should. I mean, from where he started to where he is now, it's really something great. And although I think he's hit a ceiling and he, you know, may find himself on an NBA roster next year, and it likely won't be the Toronto Raptors, I think for a guy who's, you know, 31, 32 years old, to have played in the league for 6 years, 7 years, and to have been able to play for the only Canadian team for the majority of his NBA career, and for us to witness, you know, some of his growth and some of his highlights as Canadians, as Raptors fans, I think that's really great. And then to have some connection to his story, like to know it, to be privy to it, through Uninterrupted Canada, through Open Gym, through TSN, and some of the beat writers for the Toronto Raptors in Canada, Toronto Star, Athletic, and you know, Sportsnet, and so on, is great. And Chris Boucher should be honored. Chris Boucher should be celebrated. And it sucks that his final year at the Raptors fizzled out pretty quick. I think we can say that Chris Boucher's career with the Raptors was one that was special. There's so many games and moments to look back on, but I think I'm always going to have a smile on my face when I think of Chris Boucher in a Raptors jersey. So that's great. I like some of the guys that were trying out. I think Bruce Brown was a nice pickup. I think Agbaji was a nice pickup from Utah, who came over with Kelly. I think he adds a dynamic that we need. And I think it's important this season to talk about the two kind of young stars or young budding players, you could say. Probably Scotty Barnes is more of a star, but Grady Dick, you know, people really thought he was the guy to get in the draft. We got him. And he had a slow start, as rookies do. Doesn't matter if you played at Kansas. It doesn't matter if you're 6'6 and some great shooter. It takes time to get into the flow of the NBA, to work out, new teammates in a new city, to have a paycheck come in and week out, to have to film commercials, to play against faster, stronger, smarter players who are hungry, to experience the high of draft night and then the low of going to the 905. But that you learn so much in the grind of the 905 as well. And Grady Dick goes out to Saga, plays hard, gets his reps, comes back up, and really did quite well. When you look at his stats, it's not all bad. There's some really some good check marks besides Grady Dick's name. He shot 37.2% from behind the arc this year. That's really good, knowing how slow he started. He was 92% from the free throw line. He had an efficient field goal percentage of 54.6. That's okay from a rookie who's working out, the kinks of his game. He had 18 points in a win against Indiana. Played really well. 4-4 from behind the arc. In the game against Charlotte, talk about a G League team in the NBA, he was 3-for-5 from downtown, 4-for-7 from the field. 0 turnovers in that game, 11 points. There's things to be excited about when it comes to Grady Dick. And he's only going to get better. More reps with the guys who are on this team, more reps within the philosophy and ideas of Darko Rakovic and getting the encouragement from him. He's going to find himself in better positions for rebounds. He's going to find himself with his eyes more open and being able to indicate and be aware of the movements of his teammates and the flow of the offense. And he's going to get another assist or two next year. But when you look at other guys in his position who are rookies, I think Grady Dick has done pretty good. I mean, Corey Hawkins from New Orleans was a guy that, I really wanted for the Raptors. I thought he was the best guy for this team. I thought they needed a shooter. I thought it made sense to get a guy who had done some good stuff in college. And he did that. And he was drafted. Sorry, Jordan Hawkins, my mistake. Jordan Hawkins is playing on a team that's going to go to the playoffs. He's shooting 37% from the field, 85% from the free throw line. He's playing a lot more games, 55. He's 6'5", 195. He's an inch shorter, 10 pounds lighter than Grady. He's also, I believe, a year older than Grady Dick. So that says something as well. When you look at his last five games, there's no games with double digits. He's 0-for-2 from downtown, 2-for-3, 1-for-3, 1-for-4, 2-for-5. So he hasn't even shot the three ball well. That's supposed to be his specialty. The Pelicans have got wins in three of the last five games, but Jordan Hawkins has not been, impressive in the last five games. 9.1 points a game, 2.6 rebounds. I mean, if you're going to play more, almost 20 minutes a game, you're going to get a couple more rebounds. He only has 1.2 assists. So, as a shooter, that's going to happen. But his efficient field goal percentage is 51%, and his free throws, as I said, are 7 points less than Grady Dick. He's got 85. So, is he playing in more important games? Yes. Does that year you know, on the earth, playing basketball at a higher level. Does that matter? It does. But when you look at those two guys being drafted beside each other, I think Grady Dick's got, you know, quite possibly a better upside, not just because he's a little bit taller and you know, heavier, but I think his movement away from the ball, his ability to finish at the rim, his ability to shoot the free throw, is actually more impactful. And when you think about how slow Grady Dick started from downtown, and now he's coming on from downtown, even in close ball games, he's shooting the ball quite well. I think that we can be happy about Grady Dick's first year. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't ideal. But it was pretty good for what it was. And there was a lot of change within the Raptors team, roster, principals, coaches. So I think Grady's done pretty well. That's definitely a passing grade for Grady Dick. Scotty Barnes has shut it down. He was an all-star this year. He won Rookie of the Year, of course, in his first year, and here he was an all-star in his third year. You could tell Scotty was struggling to shoot after his three-point percentage was 37-38 after the first 25 games, 30 games of the season. That has fallen to 34%. He's really struggled from behind the arc the last, I would say, 12 games. His efficiency from the field has gone down a little bit. His free throws have gone up. He's definitely, you know, scored the ball really well, better than his first two seasons for sure. He's rebounded well. His assists are great. This guy has worked really hard on his craft to be that big impact playmaking hub like a Draymond or a Domantas Sabonis. And I think, as even Draymond said within the last week, that he's got all kinds of special talents and abilities. And if he keeps putting in the hard work, his physicality, his natural or God-given talents are going to shine very bright in the league. And when you look at some of the games that they played, you know, they won three games, Atlanta, Brooklyn, and Indiana. His field goal percentage was quite strong. He was good from the line. He had a triple-double two games with double-digit assists. I think he had now four triple-doubles in the season. Very few Raptors have ever got four triple-doubles in a season. So these are all things to be really excited about with Scotty Barnes. Is he the future face of the NBA? I don't know about that. I don't know if I'd go as far as Darko did in his rant post-Los Angeles Lakers in LA. But I think it's safe to say that Scotty Barnes is going to be a perennial All-Star. And I think that he could turn into a leader who leads with his voice, leads with his game, and leads in his work ethic. And I think that last part, that work ethic, that heart, both on and off the floor, both, you know, in practice, in the gym, in the offseason, that's going to really matter to guys like Grady Dick. That's going to matter to guys like Jakob Poeltl and possibly Bruce Brown if he's there next year. It's going to matter to Kelly Olynyk, RJ Barrett, and Quickley. He's going to be, you know, potentially the one who sets the tone for our ball club, similarly to ways that Kyle and DeMar did in years past. Similarly to Pascal, although obviously different personalities. But I think that's going to be something to watch over the next two seasons for Scotty Barnes, but there's no doubt that talent-wise and IQ-wise and physically, Scotty Barnes is a very gifted basketball player. And, I'm willing to get behind him game in, game out come next season. And it's not a bad thing after the two – now three seasons he's had in the NBA where there's been so many roller coaster rides, so many times where the script changed, halfway through the season for one reason or another, positively in his rookie year, not so positively in his last two seasons, where I think the rest will be important for Scotty Barnes. Not everyone has the luxury to rest when they're a star, when they're an all-star. Certainly you don't when you play for a successful team. But I think this offseason, it's important for Scotty to get a month where he can just fully rest and recover and then put in the work and get hungry. If he's not already chomping at the bit after surgery on that finger. I'm excited about Darko Raković. I'm not saying he will be the coach for the next decade. I'm not saying he's the Toronto Raptors' Eric Spoelstra. But this guy is very positive, and he has crazy work ethic with a long resume of coaching. This is not a guy who is in the NBA. And so there is some things with players that is missing. But when you put good people around you, as I think Darko has, when you have your feet on the ground, as Darko has, and where you can be innovative and motivational, I think those are all very good components to be around a young team. And this year, this year was a warm-up for Darko. His evaluation truly starts next season. You can't evaluate Darko Raković from this year. It's like evaluating Mikel Arteta as the Arsenal coach after his first year when there was a pandemic, when they had to get rid of a whole bunch of veterans. No, Mikel Arteta's evaluation started the minute those veterans had been fully cleaned out. That old team had been cleaned out. And in the case of Darko, Masai and Bobby have done that for him this season, so it starts next year. And this team is better suited for Darko as a personality, for Darko as a new coach, and for Darko's principles. And when you think about that, along with his kind of well-married principles to the game of Scotty Barnes, and knowing how effective the principles were at getting assists, something we often struggled with over the Nick Nurse and Dwayne Casey eras. If it wasn't for the genius of Kyle Lowry, the incredible passing and precision of and playmaking of Marc Gasol, we were very limited. Those seasons would have been very much centered around isolation for Kawhi or Kyle and DeMar. And there were times where the offense really struggled from a process perspective, not just from a results perspective. This season, since the All-Star break, I would even say since the trades were made, of Pascal and Dennis and OG, I think you can say the offense was in a really good place. Certainly not last night against New Orleans, but we won't worry about that. We didn't have Yak, Scotty, or Bruce Brown that game, and we're still trying to get guys up to speed on things and are no longer competitive or interested in being competitive. But I am really looking forward to how this team starts the season, how they work together, and you know, really how they gel. And I think Darko's going to make that happen. So for those of you who are suspicious of Darko, that's fine. Be suspicious. But your evaluation cannot start until next season, because Darko finally has a team that he can say this is the team going forward for at least the next two seasons. Maybe more, but certainly for the next two seasons. So that's where I'm kind of at with the Toronto Raptors this year. I think I said this once Pascal was traded for different reasons, but I'll say it again in a different way for other reasons. I will not likely be talking about the Toronto Raptors too much over the course of the next 3 months. They won't be in the play-in. They won't be in the playoffs. You know, there won't be any big awards, All-NBA, MVP, MIP. I don't, you know, six-man. They're not going to have any awards, Coach of the Year, nothing. So we won't be talking about the Toronto Raptors too much for the rest of the season. So I wanted to get this pod in. I wanted to get a positive outlook, because I think there is much to be excited about for the Raptors. There is going to be a buzz next season, and not a manufactured one like there was the last two seasons. But I think a really exciting season, because we're going to anticipate what's that next leap look like for Scotty Barnes. What's year two look like for Grady Dick when he could possibly be starting? Let's be honest. That's a possibility. Who is that center going to be who's coming off bench? Will we see the return of Koloko? Will Jonte Porter be back? What will Abaji's summer look like? I'm sure he and Rico Hines will get to know each other pretty well. Will there be a free agent signing? Will there be a young guy who's just come off a rookie contract, or will there be a veteran, you know, who's in his last 3 to 5 years, who's going to want to be around a guy like Scotty Barnes? Will there be someone that Darko had a good relationship with, and he'll want to get back in to a roster that has Darko now at the head coaching role? I still think there are quite a lot of positives that could add to what already exists with this team. And now we know each other, right? We have 7 or 8 guys that are in the books, ready to play for this team, for this city, for next year. And I'm sure there'll be trades. I'm sure there'll be free agent signings. But to look at this team and say, yeah, this is the future now. And to see a lot of talent and a lot of speed and a lot of playmaking is quite exciting. So that's where I'm at, y'all. I'd be curious to know how you feel about this team and where you think they could improve. If there's any players out there that you'd like to see join them that are free agents this year, coming up in the off season. If you've paid attention to the draft class for 2024, if there's anyone who stands out that you think would be a good match for this Toronto Raptors roster, I'd love to know your thoughts about Darko Raakovich. But for now, I'll let y'all go. Thanks for listening. As always, peace. in the Middle East, peace to Palestine, freedom to the Palestinian people, and peace to Israel.